Let's read verse 18 down to verse 20. Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Paul said, and pray for me, verse 19, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And it is for the sake of the gospel that I am now in chains. I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We're in the section of Ephesians known as the warfare of the Christian. We looked at the wealth, we looked at the walk, and now we've looked at the warfare. And there are three basic things that we discover about our warfare from verse 10 to verse 20. Number one, we need to know our enemy. We need to know the enemy, the devil. And number two, we need to use the armor that God has provided. We need to take up the armor of God. And number three, this morning, we need to stand in God's power or strength. Now, how do we stand in the evil day? Verse 18, by praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, this one verse is packed or pregnant with truth. And I believe that it should be included in the subject of spiritual warfare, that we are to put on the armor with prayer. We put on the belt of truth by prayer. We put on the breastplate of righteousness through prayer. We have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace by prayer. We put on the helmet of salvation through prayer. We take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, by prayer. And so Paul says we are to fight our battle against the enemy by and through prayer. Prayer is the supreme weapon that we use against Satan's power. Satan is powerful. Satan is wily. He has his wiles. And unless we pray, we will be defeated for sure. It is the energy that enables the Christian soldier to wear the armor, to wield the sword. But here's the question that we need to ask and answer. What kind of prayer is needed to defeat the devil? All of us will be tempted. There's no one above temptation. All of us face temptation. But if we pray and put on the armor, we'll be able to stand. But what kind of prayer is needed? Five things Paul tells us about prayer in verse 18. Five aspects of prayer. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write these down. Number one, we should have continual prayer, or praying always. Notice it in verse 18. Paul says, praying always. Stop right there. We should pray on all occasions. Now, when do you pray? You pray when the car won't start. You pray when you can't get in the house. Actually, my wife said, we need to pray. I said, you pray. I can't even pray right now. Pray for me that I can pray, that you can pray, that we can get in the house. So I let her do the praying. You pray when things are bad, and that's when most commonly people pray. You know, when the cop's pulling you over, oh, God, save me, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. You get arrested, thrown in jail, you pray. You know, everybody prays when they get arrested. You pray when you're out of work. You pray when you have a sickness. We usually pray in need, but sad to say, some Christians, many Christians, pray only in their difficult times. Now, it's okay to pray when you're facing a problem or facing a crisis, and we should pray. In the book of James, chapter 5, verse 13, it says, is any among you afflicted? Let him do what? Pray, right? So when you're being afflicted, you pray. But then James goes on to say, is any merry? Let him sing psalms. That is a form of prayer. So we should pray when we're sad, and we should pray when we're glad. A lot of times we go, let's pray. Why? There's nothing wrong. There's nothing going on. There's no, you know, catastrophe right now. Why pray? Prayer is to be at all occasions and in all seasons. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, referring to the early Christians, says, these all continue with one accord in prayer. Notice they continued in prayer. Prayer should be continual, not sporadic. Prayer should be habitual and not an isolated act. Prayer should characterize the entire life of the child of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says these words, praying without what? Ceasing. You know the verse. Now, I used to think that to pray without ceasing, I'd have to not sleep, not eat, quit my job, and just get on my knees and pray 24/7. But that's not what that verse is talking about. That verse is talking about an attitude, not an action. You don't have to actually get on your knees, fold your hands, close your eyes, and pray. If you drive on the freeway, how could you pray? You've got to keep your eyes open, right? Highly recommend you do that when you pray on the freeway. Can you say, oh God, I pray right now? Keep your hands on the wheel. You can't close your eyes, lift your hands, and pray to God while you're going down the freeway. But do pray when you're on the freeway, especially in California. So we're to pray without ceasing. It's an attitude, not an articulation of words, an attitude of the heart. Let me ask you this question. Do you pray in all seasons? Good times, bad times, feast, famine, you pray and worship the Lord. Here's the second aspect of prayer to defeat the devil and stand against temptation. We need varied prayer or different kinds of prayer. I want you to notice verse 18. With all prayer, or literally, all kinds of prayer. When Paul in verse 18 says, with all prayer, he's using a general term for prayer. And so it means that we pray at all times with all different kinds of prayer. So because we need to pray continually, we must pray with variety. We must know how to offer different types of prayers at different times. The Christian who prays only to ask or supplicate and ask petitions is missing out on many wonderful blessings. I heard of a girl that said, today, I'm not going to pray for myself. I'm going to pray for others. And she came to the end of her prayer. She said, Lord, I pray for my mom that you will give her a handsome son-in-law. We know really how to work it, don't we? I'm not going to pray for myself, just pray for my mom. She needs a real handsome son-in-law right now. In Jesus' name. And I know I find myself, this convicts me, I find myself, Lord, help me, strengthen me, watch over me, provide for me, bless me, guide me, in Jesus' name, amen. Bless only me, for that's as far as I can see. Is that how you pray? Or do you include others in your prayer? I want to give you a little key to different kinds of prayer through the acrostic ACTS, A-C-T-S. And if you're taking notes, you can write it straight down in a column, A-C-T-S. A stands for adoration, praising God for who he is. Put this into practice. Get up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm just going to worship you. I'm just going to praise you. I'm just going to thank you for who you are. It's worship, praise to God. Stretches our minds and we're brought into his presence. And then the C, it stands for confession. Confession. As we come before a holy God, we realize how sinful we are, and we need to confess our sins. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we come to God and we confess as well as worship. And then the T in Acts, A-C-T, the T is for thanksgiving, thanking God for what he's done. And then S stands for supplication. Supplication is praying for others. Praying for others. Acts, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Supplication is praying for your own needs and praying for others' needs. In the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our what? Daily bread. Before it gets to daily bread, it's our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, praise, worship, adoration, thy holy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So praise, and then God's plan, your will to be done. The purpose of prayer is to get God's will done on earth, and then petition. give us this day our daily bread. Now, it's okay to ask for bread. It's okay to ask for provision. But God only gives you enough for the day. You know what I want to pray? I say, Lord, give me this year my yearly bread. Dump it on me, Jesus. He doesn't do that. That bugs me. I want the whole year so I don't have to freak out every day wondering if it'll come. He wants me to be dependent daily. You know that as your day is, so shall your strength be. Do you know that no one ever fell under the burdens of the day? It's when we take tomorrow's burdens and put them on today. Some of you are overwhelmed right now because you're worrying about tomorrow. Let me tell you something. Tomorrow hasn't happened yet. When tomorrow comes, God will give you the strength to make it through. One day at a time. Amen. Trusting him for the strength we need to face each day. But it's learning to pray for others. Lord, help them. Provide for them. What is it you need today? Ask God to meet your needs. Let me give you point number three, found as well in verse 18. We need to have spirit-directed prayer. Spirit-directed prayer. Again, verse 18. In the Spirit. Paul says it. How are we to pray? We are to pray in the Spirit. Jude says in verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, what does it mean to pray in the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you what it doesn't mean, first of all. It doesn't mean that you're praying in tongues. Not every Christian has the gift of tongues, but we are commanded to pray in the Spirit. So it's not just praying in the gift of tongues, nor is it praying with volume, praying loud. I've heard people say, oh, praise God, you know, and they think that the Spirit is in it if it's loud and has lots of volume. Listen, God can hear you. He's not deaf. God's not up in heaven. And what did you say there? I didn't catch that. Let me turn up my divine hearing aid. But God's perfectly able to hear your prayer. I've actually met people that think that your prayer is more effective the louder it is. No. You can even pray from your heart. You don't even have to put it into words. God knows your thoughts before you think them. He knows your heart. Nor is it much praying, or better said, Matthew 5, much speaking or vain repetition. Jesus indicted the heathen who said they think that they're going to be heard by God for their much speaking, vain repetition, over and over and over and over, praying a little stanza over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. You don't need vain repetition. It reminds me of some form prayer. Sometimes people will have a prayer written down. Now, I'm okay with a written prayer if it comes from your heart. But if it doesn't come from your heart, well, what good does it do to read a prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. Some people have a race to see who can do the Lord's Prayer fastest. I said it faster than you do. We don't talk to people that way. You don't get up in the morning and talk to your wife. How are you this morning? Talk to your wife. It is so good to be married to you. It looks like a very nice day today. Put that note away. Talk from your heart. Sometimes people just have a form prayer and their prayers are not really from their hearts. What is praying in the Spirit? It's praying with the Spirit's help. I think it's that simple. It is praying with the help of the Holy Spirit. He is the Parakletos, the Comforter. I would define praying in the Spirit as the Spirit inspires, the Spirit creates, and the Spirit directs our praying. Let me repeat that. He inspires, he creates, and he directs our prayers. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, Paul says, it is the Spirit who helps us with our weaknesses. We do not know how to pray as we should. But he himself, the Holy Spirit, intercedes for us with groans which cannot be expressed. And he, referring to God the Father, who searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Paul says, we don't even know how to pray. You ever got down to pray and you don't know what to ask God? So we need the Spirit's help in praying. He needs to create the prayer. He needs to direct the prayer. He needs to energize the prayer. John Bunyan said, in prayer, it is better to have heart without words than words without heart. I love that. Someone took the little prayer, now I lay me down to sleep, and they redid the words. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord, nobody wakes me up. If I should die before I wake, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, we have these little, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord, my, if I should die before I wake, the Lord take my soul, something like that. I don't even know the prayer. But we just rattle it off and our hearts are not engaged. If I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, he tells me what to pray for, his will. And if I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, he gives me the power to pray. Prayer for the child of God is directed to the Father through the Son and in the Holy Spirit's power. You got that? When you pray, you talk to the Father, you come through the merits of the Son, and you do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. So prayer is Trinitarian by nature. I'm talking to God the Father, I'm coming with access through God the Son, and it's all in the energy and the power of God the Holy Spirit. I can't pray without the Holy Spirit's help. And if there's sin unconfessed in the life of a Christian, then it is going to hinder prayer. The Bible says, God's ear is not heavy, nor his arm short, that he cannot help you, but your sins have separated you from your God. So if there's sin in your life, you need to confess it and repent of it, and then you'll have access to God through prayer. Number 4, verse 18. To pray and defeat the devil, we need to have persistent prayer. Persistent prayer. Notice verse 18. With all perseverance. With all perseverance. Now, Jesus said in Luke 18, a whole chapter, by the way, on prayer, men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint. I love that. What we do is we faint because we do not pray. What we need to do is pray and we will not faint. Jesus told the parable in Luke 18 of the unjust judge. He said, I don't fear God or man, but this woman is continually coming to me, and so I'm going to give her what she asked for. Now, that is what's called a parable in contrast. God is not an unjust judge, and you don't have to bug him to get your request. Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge says, shall not God, your Father, avenge his elect, which cry unto him day and night, though he bear long with him. In other words, God will quickly answer if we are persistent in our prayer. In Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. Now, these are actually steps to persistent prayer. Ask implies requesting assistance for a conscious need. We realize our lack and thus ask for help. The word also suggests humility, for that very Greek word translated ask means asking of a superior, an inferior to a superior. So you come to God in prayer with humility. And the next step is seek. It involves asking but adds action. The idea is not just expressing our need, but we get up and we look around for help. And then the third and final step is knocking. It includes asking plus preserving, like someone who keeps pounding on a closed door. The stacking of these words is extremely forceful, and the fact that they are a present imperative. In other words, ask, seek, knock is a commandment in the present tense. What it means is that God's asking. Seek, keep seeking. Knocking, keep knocking. Satan wants you to give up and stop asking. Satan wants you to stop seeking and stop knocking. Maybe you're praying for an unsaved loved one and you just go, oh, well, they'll never get saved. Satan wants you to stop praying. He wants you to give up. If you've been praying 10 years, keep praying. You've been praying 20 years, keep praying. 30 years, keep praying. 40 years, keep praying. Don't stop. God will answer your prayers. So we are to pray persistently. Be not weary in well-doing. In due season you will reap if you faint not. Here's number 5. Number 5. Pray with intercessory prayer. intercessory prayer, notice verse 18, supplication for all saints. Now, the saints there are Christians. The New Testament declares every Christian to be a saint. You're either a saint or you ain't. So he's actually saying we're to pray for other Christians. Remember in the Old Testament when Joshua went with the children of Israel to battle against the enemy, and they started to lose the battle, and so Moses stood up on the mountain, and he raised his hands, and he began to pray to God. And when he prayed, Joshua began to conquer down below. We visited the area there where Joshua crossed the Jordan, went into the city of Jericho. And so as long as Moses was holding his hands, but his hands got weary, his hands got tired, and Moses' hands and arms began to drop, and they began to lose the battle. Those that are out there on the front line serving the Lord, battling for Jesus, they need our prayers. And so on one side, we have Aaron. The other side, we have Hur. And they held up his arms. They got beside him and they held up his arms. We do that through prayer. We need to intercede and supplicate for other people. And especially for those that are in full-time ministry. For those who are in the work of the Lord. I want you to notice verse 19 and 20. Paul says at the end of verse 18, supplication for all saints, doesn't skip a beat, verse 19, he says, and for me. Paul was an apostle. Paul was perhaps the greatest Christian that ever lived. What a thrill for me to visit some of the sites that Paul went to preach. We went to Ephesus, we went to Corinth, and we went to Athens, and I got to teach up on Mars Hill, where Paul spoke to the Epicureans and the Stoics. And we went to some of the islands in Greece that Paul visited. I believe Paul was the greatest Christian that ever lived. But Paul the Apostle was a man just like us. And Paul had his frailties and his weaknesses. And he was dependent upon the prayers of God's people. And I'm not ashamed to say that I need the prayers of God's people. And I praise God that this is a church that prays for the pastor, prays for the pastors, pray for the leadership of this church. And I thank God for your prayers. In a sense, you're holding up my arms, and you are party with what God is doing in our church. But we need to remember to pray for those in leadership. Now, what does Paul pray for? He prays for clarity. He wants him to pray that God will give him utterance. And then he prays for courage, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul is actually asking them that God give him more of what got him into trouble in the first place. For it's for the gospel, verse 20, I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul was in prison because he was preaching. And what does he say? Pray that I can get out of here. Pray that the food will be better. Pray that I can get out of prison. No, he says, pray that I would have more boldness. Pray that I would have a holy boldness and I would be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pastors need the prayers of God's people, that God would use them and that they would speak with boldness and not compromise. It was Mary, Queen of Scots, that said she feared the prayers of John Knox more than the efforts of 10,000 soldiers. When God's people pray, they're like little drops of water that form a mighty ocean that defy resistance. God will move heaven and earth through our prayers. So the spiritual weapons of our warfare are truth, righteousness, peace, and faith, and the word of God, and prayer. Let's not forget prayer. Put on the armor with prayer and go out to battle in the spirit of prayer. But not just any kind of prayer. Spirit-directed prayer, continual prayer, varied kinds of prayer, persistent prayer, intercessory prayer. Someone said Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. We're not able to stand against Satan. We all have our frailties and our weaknesses. And James says, you have not because you ask not. May God help us to be a praying people. Let's pray.